Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and this is episode 47. All right, y'all, back with another episode. A little tardy with this one. I was going to drop it on schedule on Thursday, but just been real busy taking care of business, man. You know, life happens, but I'm back with y'all once again, man. And I said I'm going to drop an episode before the end of the week, but I will be back on schedule next week with episode 48. So, yeah, man, this ain't going to be a long episode. I'm actually doing this one on the go. But I had to come back, man, because, you know, WMMA is lit right now. You know, and I got some topics I want to speak on, you know, this week and next week. But first up, like I said, WMMA is lit, and I want to speak on some big fights coming up, big championship fights. Featherweight fight, a flyweight fight, and a strawweight fight. Everybody know what I'm talking about. Y'all can see the picture right here. But, yeah, man, first fight I want to speak on, just as far as some couple of different angles. Not really doing a prediction on this one yet, but it's fights taking place next Saturday. Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson. I just want to talk about some different angles, like if an upset was to come, what this fight means for the division, and how much of a puncher's chance does Megan Anderson have, and if Amanda Nunes wins, will she move down to bantamweight? Will she just move back down to bantamweight after she cleans out the division? So let's talk about those different angles today. Also, it's going down UFC 261, Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade. Let's talk about this fight. I talked about it last night a little bit in the live stream with BJ from No Filter MMA. He gave me a few of his takes that just made me kind of put things in perspective about this fight. You know, we just kind of broke it down and we just talked about it towards the end of the live stream. Just a lot of interesting things with this fight here, man. I know it looks one-sided on paper, but there's a lot of what-ifs there that people like to play in their mind. And I do too, because I'm a fight fan. And last but not least, Weili Zhang versus Rose Namajunas. Questions about this fight, man, is this fight going down on UFC 261? Will this fight be on the card? Is this fight happening? You know, let's talk about those angles with this fight, man, because right now I feel like even big fans Weili and big fans of Rose, everybody's getting a little bit restless about this fight. You know, I can sense that in the live streams I'll be doing when we talk about this fight. You know, at this point everybody just wants to fight date solidified. That's it. That's all. First topic. It's going down next Saturday. Featherweight champion Amanda Nunes is taking on featherweight contender Megan Anderson. And on paper, I know a lot of people feel like this fight is going to be one-sided. They feel like Amanda Nunes is going to go in there and thrash her, you know, maul her, take her down and get her out of there, which for good reason, everybody knows Nunes is the GOAT, right? But let's talk about a few different angles. First up, what does this fight mean for the featherweight division? Doesn't really mean a great deal because there really is no stable featherweight division. I mean, it means something for Amanda Nunes because she needs another title defense, you know, to actually kind of tell us where she's going to go from here. Like, if she wins this fight and cleans the division out, then what's next? She moving down to 135? She's going to stay there and retire after that? Is that what's in the cards for Amanda Nunes? For Megan Anderson, if she was to win, she would be that champion. You know, she would be that champion, which leads to my next part of this angle here is, if she was to win, would they actually build a division around her? Well, let's look at that, man, because let's think about it. If Megan Anderson was to pull off the upset and beat Amanda Nunes, I honestly think that they would build a division around her. I actually do. That's why I think that if Megan Anderson was to win this fight and what it means for her, it means a big thing. It definitely means a big payday, big exposure for her. But once she has that belt, I feel like she's going to have more say-so into saying, look, I need more fighters here in this division that I can compete against. I need more fights. You know, so how am I going to get more fights? We got to bring in more featherweights. You know, I think that with somebody much younger and that needs to establish herself like Megan Anderson, they will take the chance and bring in more featherweight contenders. Because, you know, what does the UFC have to lose? I mean, they're losing right now because they have no contenders and they have no stable featherweight division. And I was talking about this in, I talked about this so many times over the past year or so now, where I feel like if Megan Anderson actually had the belt, I felt like the featherweight division would be built. You know, because, like, again, like I said, you know, they're dealing with a younger fighter that needs to establish herself and they need to make her look good more so than Amanda Nunes, who's already looking good. You know, she's a two-division world champion. She established herself at bantamweight and then, you know, just kind of, you know, she just kind of set the bar and kind of topped her career off by moving up and beating Cyborg and being a two-division world champion. You know, I feel like Amanda Nunes would have been the GOAT regardless. You know what I mean? Like, by doing what she did by cleaning out 135. But somebody like Megan Anderson, she's just going to have the belt, but no fighters, nobody, no contenders. So they're going to have to build that division and make her look good and actually, you know, make some money off of Megan Anderson by bringing in and establishing a top 15, you know. So I feel like there'll be some good if she was off the, if she was to pull off the upset. You know, if she was able to pull off the upset, you know, Dana White, the UFC, they're going to say, okay, we got a new champion. Who is she going to fight? You know, who is she going to fight? You know, what are we going to do? We better get some of these bantamweights that we may kill themselves moving down to 135, move up the featherweight, you know. So I feel like that's going to be it'll be a good thing if she wins. You know, I feel like it would be a good thing if Megan Anderson was able to pull off the win. And I stick with that argument. I think that's going to happen, man. Like, if she wins, which is a big if, you know, they will bring in some new featherweights in the UFC. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like a big wish, but I think it would happen. As for Amanda Nunes, if she was to win, I think it would just go about the way everything's been going with the featherweights. You know, there's just going to be anarchy. You know, it's just going to be, we're going to put this number one contender in here with this 1-0 fighter. I'm talking about Felicia Spencer versus Daniel Wolf. It's just going to be everybody fighting Zara Ferris Santos, or they're fighting Norma Dumont. Just that type of situation. And I honestly think that if Amanda Nunes wins, she might go back down to bantamweight and stay there, you know, because she does have a potential fight coming up between the Holly Holm Pena winner, Juliana Pena winner. So if she goes back down there and fights a good fight and has some good success with that fight, you could probably see her staying at bantamweight. But yeah, I think that if Amanda Nunes wins, it would be the same thing, you know, no division and just her defending her title against whoever moves up to 145 with no structure to it. But if Megan Anderson was to win, they probably would invest in a featherweight division just to build up this new fighter to reintroduce Megan Anderson to the world, you know, to the UFC fans, to the MMA fans. But last part of this segment, how big of a puncher's chance does Megan Anderson have? Well, I feel like she's a very calculated puncher, which I talked about in some of my other videos leading up to this fight. I feel like Megan Anderson is a very strong puncher. She's got a deadly right hand, and her puncher's chance is great if that's what she really focuses on going into this fight, because we already know that Amanda Nunes has the tools to nullify whatever Megan Anderson brings to the table. So I feel like it's up to Megan Anderson to go through drill after drill after drill, working on being a puncher in this fight. You know, don't try to fight on the ground. Don't give Amanda Nunes any chance. And if you invest in just being the puncher in this fight, working the angles and working the distance and using your reach full on and not playing into anything that Amanda Nunes has, then I feel like she does have a great puncher's chance in this fight, you know, because all it takes is one hit from Megan Anderson. If she puts you on wobbly legs with just one good right hand to the temple, she can go in and finish you off. So I think that this has to be a fight where Megan Anderson has to take full advantage of the few things that she has over Amanda Nunes. We know she has more power, so her thing has to be the power. She has to work on every angle of the power and how to deliver it, how to be technical with it, how to just be a calculated puncher in this fight with it. You know, you have to be that type of fighter. Don't try to make this an even fight or say, oh, I worked on my ground game, oh, I can fight her on the inside now, or I can fight her on the ground, I can fight her off my back. You don't want to give Amanda Nunes any chance. You want to make sure that everything you have is multiplied by 100 in this fight. You want to make sure that you can use every angle of your punching power and every angle of your striking over Amanda Nunes in this fight. So if she does that, then her puncher's chance goes up. Her puncher's chance stock goes up major. But if she lets Amanda Nunes close that distance early and even counter her right hand with her right or her left or Amanda Nunes' left hook, then it will be a short night, because all Amanda Nunes has to do is punch her way in my opinion, and then get those underhooks and then shoot in and press the action and take her down, and that'll be it. If it goes to the ground at any moment in this fight, then it's going to be all Nunes. It's going to be all Nunes if it goes to the ground. So the puncher's chance will be great if Megan Anderson really, really takes it seriously, you know, drill after drill after drill, where she works on her skill set as a calculated puncher and a calculated striker, you know. So, yeah, let me know in the comment section, guys, what you think. I know that's what everybody's been saying. All she can do is land the right hand. And I think that's pretty safe to say against, you know, the GOAT and Amanda Nunes. So, yeah, man, let's move on to the next topic here. This fight here, I knew it was going to happen. First of all, let me say that UFC 261, Valentina Shevchenko will be taking on the number one contender, Jessica Andrade. And, you know, about a month or so ago, everybody felt like Jessica Andrade was ducking because she didn't take the fight on short notice, which I said she's not a duck. You know, I've always been saying that. Everybody can get on me about that. I don't care. You know, like I said, this is the fight game, and a number one contender is not going to take a championship fight on short notice. You know, they're not going to take it on short notice after they just fought, even if that was a short fight. You know, they're going to take their time to build this fight up, and promotions should think smart about this fight and say, hey, we got to build this fight up. This is big. This is one of the biggest flyweights we have. We actually have a flyweight that wants the challenge, Valentina Shevchenko. We got to take full advantage of this, right? Because, you look, many of the other flyweights don't really call out Valentina Shevchenko the way you had a former strawweight champion move up to fight the flyweight champion, you know? Real quick, let's look at this fight, man. I know on paper it does look like a one-sided fight, but we talked about some what-if scenarios last night. What if Jessica Andrade was able to offset the timing and the technique of Valentina Shevchenko? Does she have that ability to do that? Well, like I said, I compared this fight to a boxing match that, if you're not familiar with, you can go back and watch it. There's a fight between Floyd Mayweather and Ricky Hatton. I still do feel like, you know, Valentina Shevchenko is, you know, light years above Jessica Andrade when it comes to skill. And same with this boxing match here, where Floyd Mayweather, he was definitely the better boxer than Ricky Hatton. And when I played the fight out in my head, like, what, 14, 15 years ago, I felt like Floyd was just going to go in there and stop Ricky Hatton real quick on cuts, like he did Arturo Gatti, you know, just beat him and punish him until they stopped in maybe like the fifth or sixth round. But it actually turned out a little bit different. Floyd really had to work for that knockout. Floyd really had to work. He had to deal with a mauler, brawler. He had to use a lot of sharpshooter techniques where he just had to land single shots and hold. He had to deal with the wrestling of Ricky Hatton, you know, for a good 10 rounds. I think it was 10 or 11 rounds, right? Until eventually he knocked out Ricky Hatton. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe he wasn't used to that footwork and that just uneducated pressure of Ricky Hatton, you know, because like I said, I feel like he was just going to double jab, step to the side, double jab, body punches, just beat the hell out of Ricky Hatton until like the fifth or sixth round until they stopped it, right? But it actually turned out to be it really turned out to be a moment where he had to work for that knockout, just make quick adjustments on the fly because Ricky Hatton was coming so fast. Even though Ricky Hatton's not the best boxer, he was putting a lot of crazy uneducated speed on Floyd Mayweather. So this fight could be like that. I was playing that scenario out in my mind. I said this fight could be like that, where of course it looks tailor-made on paper, but it could be a moment where Jessica Andrade could keep the footwork offset of Valentina Shevchenko. You know, she could really keep her offset and come forward, you know, just head movement that she's been working on, and just come straight in and really press Valentina Shevchenko back. Now, I know this is different than boxing. There's more tools to use here, but this could be a time where she offsets the rhythm of Valentina. You know, that could be where Valentina has to really use angles. She really has to tie Jessica Andrade up, and Jessica Andrade get in on the inside sometimes and catch her a few times with good shots and make her work before finally knocking her out. So that could be a scenario. You know, I feel like Jessica Andrade does have the physical strength and the uneducated pressure where she doesn't really think, and that comes into her benefit at times. But, of course, that can also be her downfall in this fight as well. But I think it's just going to come down to Jessica Andrade being that fighter to really offset that rhythm and give Valentina Shevchenko something she's never seen before. But also, we talked about this on the live stream, and I do agree with BJ on this one. I do feel like this will be a fight where the punch output of Valentina Shevchenko is going to have to it's going to have to increase in this fight. You know, I think that Valentina Shevchenko will have to be more of a doubles and triples hitter here, where you have to constantly keep something in Jessica Andrade's face to keep her back. You know, you constantly have to pump a jab out, and you constantly have to hit her with straight shots to keep her honest. You know, Weili Zhang, she was able to get her out in the first round because she started launching punches off right away. As soon as she stepped in Weili Zhang's zone, she fired off some good right hands and left hooks until she put Jessica Andrade out of there in less than a minute. You know, so looking at the other fighters, Rose Namajunas had great success in the first round. Had she kept that up on into however long she needed to stop Jessica Andrade, then that would have been another blueprint on how you beat her. Of course, that first round, if you look at it, Rose Namajunas was double and tripling the jab, straight right hands down the pipe. You know, she was mixing the attack up. She constantly had something coming at Jessica Andrade. So Valentina Shevchenko, she's a sharp shooter. You know, she's a very strong puncher. I feel like she will have to commit to at least a double and triple jab in this fight. And she'll have to be a little bit more light on the feet. Like, you can't really keep the feet set and you can't keep your feet stationary against a fighter like Valentina Shevchenko. You have to be ready to turn. You have to be ready to play the bullfighter in a fight against Jessica Andrade. Because the minute you keep your feet flat, she will land leg kicks, or she will come straight in and shoot in for a takedown, or come in to maul you or take it to the fence and look for that slam. You know, so you do have to kind of up your ante. You have to up your punch output when you deal with a fighter like her, because that's the type of fighter Jessica Andrade is. Once again, uneducated pressure, doesn't have a lot of technique. And unless you're just like constantly hitting her with that piston jab in the face, you know, she's going to come in your zone. You know, she's going to come in your zone. So that's one thing I think that just Valentina Shevchenko is going to have to do against Jessica Andrade in this fight. So, yeah, man, another thing I just want to say about this fight, too, man, is that I feel like Shevchenko versus Andrade, this fight here, it's a big statement for the flyweight division, just to put a lot of these other flyweights on notice that, look, they need to have goals, you know, and that's something I've been talking about in a lot of my videos is goals. You know, I feel like fighters need to have goals and they need to think of end games. I feel like if they have a goal and an end game, it'll definitely put things into perspective and make them think, think about stronger points in life, you know, where they have to get stronger and say, okay, well, this is my end game. Well, I need to improve on this. I need to improve on this. And if I do, it'll take me to the next level. And if I graduate from this level, eventually I'll get to this level. And then I'll be challenging for the belt. See, a lot of these other fighters in UFC, I feel like they just come to fight. They just come to fight. Whereas Valentina Shevchenko, Jessica Andrade, these are fighters that come to win. You know, they come to win. They come to fight with purpose. You know, not just fight. They want to fight with a purpose. You know, we need more fighters with a purpose. Like some people say, they feel like some of these fighters, they just want to be in the UFC and that's good enough for them. But to me, I feel like if you're going to be a fighter, you have to have an end game to it. You know, nobody wants to fight forever. You know, you can't keep putting your body through training session after training camp after training camp and just think that you're going to be able to do that forever. No, everybody has an end game. And I feel like Jessica Andrade has an end game. You know, of course, Valentina Shevchenko, she has an end game. You know, she said it in the past that she doesn't want to get brain damage. She doesn't want to be a fighter on that level. Then we have young fighters like Miranda Maverick, who also have that goal-oriented mindset where they say, look, I don't want to be in this game forever. I don't want to be 35 in, like, the top 50. I want to be either the champion or be done at this point with the sport of MMA. So I just feel like, you know, a fighter like Jessica Andrade, you know, taking this chance once again, moving up, lets you know that every fight she takes, she wants to have a purpose. You know, she's a fighter that likes to fight with high stock. You know, some people, when she first moved up, said, oh, she doesn't deserve a title shot. She just lost back-to-back fights to Jessica Andrade just lost two back-to-back fights to Weili Zhang and Rose Namajunas. Well, you know, look at her resume. She still has a lot to stand on. So if she doesn't have anything to prove in 115 anymore, then she does have a resume and a leg to stand on where we can give her a pass to say, okay, you want to move up and eventually get a title shot at flyweight, well, fight so-and-so. Well, let's fight Caitlin. Let's put you in there with Caitlin Chikagan. If you get past her, that'll secure you a number one and number two spot. Boom. She gets Caitlin Chikagan out of there. She secures a title shot. You know, so she deserves that. Nobody else was really asking for it like that. So she deserves that title shot. She let you know that every fight I take has to have a purpose, and it's got to lead towards, you know, eventually fighting for a belt. So, yeah, that's the one main thing I like about this fight. It's definitely a big statement maker. It should put a lot of the other flyweights on notice to say, look, man, like, yo, this girl just moved up and she's already getting the title opportunity before us. Look, we're fighting other fighters in and around the division, you know, but we're not really asking for the actual belt. You know, we're not actually asking for that title eliminator that'll lead us to a title shot. So I like this fight. You know, I definitely like this fight. I think it's going to be a good fight. I really can't say it's going to be one-sided. You know, it all depends on how good Jessica can keep up her momentum at 125, because like I said, she looks good, she looks strong. She's only had one fight, but she definitely looks the part of a flyweight, where this might be the weight she needs to be at. You know, it's not too big, she's not too small for bantamweight, and then she's not killing herself to make 115, so she's somewhere in the middle here. So it all depends on how she looks up, but I think it's going to be a good fight. Of course, right now I do lean towards Valentina Shevchenko for a lot of good reasons, you know, a lot of good reasons. But again, this is going to be a big statement maker, and all these other flyweights, they need to take an example from Jessica Andrade leading up to this fight here. But last but not least, this topic here, is this fight going down? Is this fight going to happen? Weili Zhang versus Rose Namajunas. Now, this fight was also in talks to be scheduled for UFC 261, right? April 24th, it was supposed to move from Singapore back to the U.S. And, that's my main question to y'all. Is this fight really going down? Like, on my live stream, once again, last night, I pulled up some news. It was like clickbait, because it said Ariel Helwani had said that this fight was confirmed. But then he's in his tweet, it basically said everything that we knew. You know, he said, I think this fight is confirmed. It doesn't say anything's official yet, but this fight is being talked about. So that's all we know right now, that negotiations are going down and that they're looking to put it on the UFC 261 card. So that's all we know as far as right now. Still nothing really like solidified. But this fight has to happen. You know, that's the first point I want to talk on. This fight just has to happen now at this point, because I feel like Rose fans and Weili fans are getting restless on this one. And everybody's kind of feeling like this one here is being kind of long and drawn out, especially when you have Weili Zhang, who's the strawweight champion, hasn't defended her title in over a year now. You know, she needs to get back in there and stay sharp. That's why I was talking about this too. I also feel like in between that time, I would have been cool with Weili Zhang getting another title defense first before this Rose Namajunas fight. Like, if Carla Esparza answered that call and she wanted to fight, whether you like Carla or not, look, I like Carla. She's all right. You know, I just feel like you could put her in there. You know, of course, I wanted to see the Rose fight, but if Carla's asking for that fight and Weili needs a title defense, put him in there. You know, let the fight happen, because I think this fight between Weili and Carla could have happened probably like in November or December, and we still have a good fight between Weili and Rose by April. You know, that would have gave the champion a chance to stay busy, stay active, get another bag in the meantime, and build herself up as a champion. Because right now, Weili Zhang is still riding off the fight of the year of last year, you know, which was, again, at the beginning of last year. So I know there's a lot of different things going on with the COVID restrictions and, you know, as far as travel for Weili Zhang. But I feel like there could have been some type of situation where they could have got her a fight. Everybody else has been fighting. Everybody else has been fighting in the UFC. Well, why couldn't we get a fight with her? But leading up to this now, I feel like this fight has to happen now, because, again, the champion has to stay active. We need to see where Rose Namajunas stands as a title contender. Can she earn her belt back? And that's the next question. Do you think Rose Namajunas has a great chance of earning her belt back? I think she does, man. I think she does. I think this is actually a 50-50 fight. You know, I think that, you know, Weili Zhang versus Rose Namajunas is really going to be a chess match at times. It's not going to be as explosive as Weili versus Joanna, because styles make fights. And I think Rose Namajunas really won't play into everything that Weili does. You know, she won't react off of everything. I think this is going to be a fight of, you know, two fighters that really appreciate martial arts, and they're really going to go in there and try to test the skills of each other. So, yeah, I really like, look, look, I'm like everybody else at this point. I really want this fight to happen. There's not really much news I can find as far as that says, oh, Weili agreed to this, Rose agreed to that. But I am like most of the other fans at this point with this fight. I'm getting a little restless with it because I think it is the fact that we are used to a lot of these strawweight fights just being made just like that, you know. But at the same time, I think this is one that has been kind of drawn out because, again, Weili hasn't been in the octagon for over a year now, right? So it's not that much for us to ask to say, look, can we get this fight finally? Look, can we get it on the same card, you know? And that's another question. What do y'all think, man? If this fight is on UFC 261, what's going to be the main event? What's going to be the co-main event? Will Weili versus Rose be the main event, or Shevchenko versus Andrade be the main event? Me personally, I actually think that Weili versus Rose should be the main event. I think this is the fight that everybody's been waiting for, and just because I feel like the strawweight division is the most competitive division, you know, and it's the return of the champion who hasn't been in there since February last year, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. It was the beginning of last year, but yeah, the champion hasn't been in there that long, and this champion had fight of the year of last year, so everybody's going to be looking for that fight. So I think that this should be the main event. It's the return of Rose, you know, the former strawweight champion. I think there's a lot that builds this fight up as a main event. You know, Valentina Shevchenko versus Andrade, that's a good fight too, of course, but there's a lot of people that feel like this is going to be a one-sided fight. So if we're going to look at it as far as significance and the caliber of fight, if it's going to be one-sided, then I really don't want to see a one-sided match as my main event. You know, I want to see a more competitive fight to cap off my night. You know, of course, it's a good fight. But if they put Weili Rose on this card, then that has to be the main event just because it's the major division. You know, Weili has a lot of followers. Rose has a lot of followers. You know, she's a popular fighter, so that would kind of be a better cap off for the night, you know. So that's just my opinion. Let me know, guys, what y'all think. If y'all want to see Weili Rose as the main event or vice versa. I think it'll be a big night for WMMA, though, man. It will make it lit. So yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this one. Like I said, I just kind of want to go back and talk about a few angles. I'm going to talk about these fights more, of course, you know, till we get them. So let me know, guys, in the comment section. I just want to drop in with y'all and do this quick podcast episode on the go. Just kind of give you my thoughts on everything going down. But yeah, man, it's getting lit in the world of WMMA. But at the same time, there's a lot of shake-up news for WMMA. You know, Invicta FC is leaving UFC Fight Pass. But from what I hear, there might be some good news on the horizon for Invicta FC. You know, so as long as we have that, you know, if they put it on a better platform, maybe things would be better. So yeah, man, I'll talk about more on Invicta FC again. You know, I did a quick video already, but you know, I'll talk about Invicta FC as, you know, more and more updates come on it. But yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got on this one. Just want to come through and, you know, chop it up with y'all real quick and do this episode on the fly. And like I said, be back on my regular scheduled programming next Thursday. So yeah, guys, make sure y'all subscribe. Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram, Boxing Fans. Go to All Boxing Everything, or follow me at ComboBreaker99. And yeah, make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel. You know, growing, it's growing. Thanks to my new subscribers. You know, thanks for always coming through to the live stream. And you know, if you want to donate to the channel, help me make the channel grow, add more different things to the channel. Drop some in the Cash App there, which I have posted on all my live streams. Info is going to be in the description box, of course. And yeah, man, it's been going down, man, over here. You know, I've just been building the channel up. You know, I've been having more and more followers come through, and I appreciate everybody that's been, you know, riding with me, everybody that's been coming through, you know, as far as, you know, popping up on the show, interviews, guests, all of that. And but I want to take it even further, man. So yeah, just keep riding with me, tell more people about the channel, and yeah, have more people come through. But yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. I'll be back with another one, like I said, next week. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.